from you because God is everywhere. Right? There's this, you know, most of you don't speak theologian. I also don't speak theologian. I speak English and Afrikaans and a bit of English. But there's this word called the omnipresence of God. Like God is alomteenwoordig. I think it's the Afrikaans word, right? For the people that know that word. But God is everywhere, and it's not like we can be far from Him. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, our experience sometimes is different. Sometimes we feel far from God. And this morning, I want to answer the following questions. Like, why does God feel far from us sometimes? How does Satan use those moments where he feels far from you to distract you? And we'll look at what do we do to feel closer to God. And I'm intentionally using that word to feel closer to God because we need to balance it doesn't matter how I feel, I will worship him. But at the same time, man, I want to feel close to God. I love that marriage analogy. You know, I'm married to my wife no matter how we feel like. But if we just feel distant from one another the whole time, man, we need counseling. We need something because we are connected. We are in a relationship. If you've been in a marriage where you feel far from the other person, it sucks. You don't want to be in a relationship where you feel disconnected from. And likewise with our relationship with God, man, there's a sense that God wants us to experience Him and to feel close to Him. So let's look at why do we sometimes feel far from God? So you can put up Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. That is probably the worst word to say. That's like the worst Bible book to try and pronounce, especially for Afrikaans guy. Deuteronomy. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands. You can just keep that up. This is after Israel has been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, wilderness is often the symbol of being far from God. Imagine you're in the wilderness for 40 years. It's like you just keep, things suck. The wilderness is not fun. Right? You think Bloemfontein in the winter is bad? Wilderness is really bad. We constantly see Israel just feeling far from God and they keep messing up. But it's interesting why God allows them to be in this wilderness season. Why does God allow you to be in a wilderness season? Why does God allow you to feel far from Him? It is to test you and to show what is in your heart. Look, God knows what is in your heart, right? He doesn't need to find out. He doesn't need to give you a test and then, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Hendrik Elias, oh, you. Now, God knows what's happening. He's doing it for your sake. He's doing it for my sake. You know, because when I feel far from God, it's like that toothpaste test. You've heard of that story where I can say it's toothpaste, but once I squeeze it, I see what comes out. So often God allows us in these seasons where we feel far from Him to show us what is in our hearts. Because what happens when you feel far from God? We've got different approaches. Some of us get busy. I feel far from God, so I'm just going to go to work. I'm just going to work harder, start another business, have more meetings. I'm going to do more things to distract me. Some of us, we feel far from God and we get insecure. It's just, why doesn't God love me? And so we see what is on the inside and we know what God wants to fix. When God brings distance between you and Him, it's for your sake. It's so that we would press into Him more. It's so that we would mature. It's so that our relationship with Him would grow deeper. And we need to understand that because otherwise when we feel these seasons of feeling far from God, we start to get frustrated and we start to blame God. But these times are good for us when we press into God. A.W. Tozer said, God often withdraws His inward comforts to draw us into deeper intimacy. He does this to draw you in deeper. He does this to take you deeper in relationship with Him. So then what do I do when I feel far from God? So first, I'm going to look at 3 points. Firstly, point number one, we need to stop and take a breath. Stop and take a breath. You'll see where I'm going with this now. But when you feel far from God, that is the best opportunity for Satan to attack you, to get you distracted with busyness. And you know, you see, Satan doesn't need to get you sinning. He just needs to get you busy. Right? And in that we do sin. But when if he can just distract us and get us busy with a bunch of things and we forget our master, we forget Jesus, we forget the presence of God, we will burn out. All he does is he keeps you busy long enough, and then once you get to the point where you feel burnt out, you feel far from God, it's too late. He's kept you busy. Step one is to stop, take a breath, rest. The big R word, you know, it's a swear word for most of us. You know, rest for me, or taking a breath, taking a moment, and that could look for, I know some of you have got more difficult jobs than others, right? And you have more taxing jobs. Even if it's an hour in a week where you stop and you take a breath and you process, we cannot just fill our time the whole time. Resting for me is like a speed bump. You know, have you ever been late for a meeting? You know? Who of you have been late for a meeting? Is it just me? I've been late twice. I'm kidding. Anyway, if you've ever been late for a meeting and you're driving, it's that moment where the person in front of you is driving 20. And you're not, you're late and everything is just like, I need to get there. And now, luckily, the road makes a double road. Have you been past that road at Brepner? It's got those speed bumps that you can't see. It's just me. I can't see them. It's happened a couple of times. I'm driving, and I'm maybe speaking to my wife, and all of a sudden, I didn't notice it was a speed bump. Oops. Right? But a speed bump is there to cause you to slow down enough so that you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt others. In our rushedness, we drive quicker. We want to get places. We want to go because we feel spiritually as if we're late for a meeting. When you feel that boiling up on the inside, stop and take a breath. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt others. I'm preaching here to myself. Luckily, my wife's also in kids' church, and she doesn't hear this. It's good. She can't remind me of this preach afterward. I'm preaching to myself here as well. Guys, we need to stop and take a breath. There will always be a next task. There will always be a next meeting. There will always be a next business opportunity, next deadline. Or where's the next video? We all do that, right? Yeah, I know. Next time I'm going to preach, I'm going to ask us all to take out our phones and look at the, you know, if you go on your phone, you can look at your screen time for the week. Right? I heard someone once saying, social media, the one good thing about social media is that one day when Jesus comes back, it'll be proof that we had time to spend with him. I was like, whoa, okay. Because how many of us go like, I don't have time to get to God? If you just look at the amount of time we spend on other things. I'm preaching to myself, though. The amount of time we spend on other things, and we blame everyone else for feeling far from God. If Satan can keep you running, he can keep you from noticing that your soul is empty. We must slow down before we can turn towards God. About 2 months ago-ish, I was driving in my car and I noticed a funny sound. Now, I'm not going to make the sound because it's funny. But I noticed a funny sound at the back. I remember, I think Quentin was actually, I stopped at Quentin. Quentin is like my local mechanic. And I said, listen to the sound. What do you think is wrong? And he said, yeah, it sounds like the petrol pump, the thing that's supposed to pump out the petrol into your engine, right? It sounds funny. And I said, well, the car's still working. And something is wrong, but I need to get to it. And I phoned the mechanic, and the mechanic, Quentin, the real mechanic. So I phoned the mechanic, and hey, when can I bring in the car? And he says, yes, you'll look. And he doesn't get back to me. And it just keeps dragging on for a bit. And eventually, the car works. I'll get to it. I'll get to it sometimes. I just get busy, like we all do. And then one day, half an hour before a group of us were going to Kimberley on outreach, my wife phones me. Listen, I'm here at the petrol station, and the petrol jockey is saying there's some things leaking out of the car at the bottom. I thought, is it maybe the aircon water? Is it maybe, what's happening? Just send me a photo. And she sends me a little video, and I kid you not, it looks like a hose pipe. It's pouring out. And I was like, what does it smell like? No, it smells like petrol. I'm like, okay, turn the car off immediately. So what happened is the petrol pump completely broke, and all my petrol, I filled up the car that week. I filled up the car that week, all the petrol. It's luckily a small tank, but all of it gone, wasted. And it happens at the worst possible moment. Half an hour before we need to drive to Kimberley, it was horrible. I remember we went with Yaku and Kelsey on that outreach. And it felt frustrating on the way there because I need to sort out this problem. And if I had stopped and fixed the problem sooner, it wouldn't have hurt me. It wouldn't have hurt those around me. Best thing you can do when you feel far from God is stop and take a breath. Point number two. Folks, we need to develop desperation. We need to develop a desperation for the presence of God. If we are serious about wanting to be in God's presence, man, are we desperate enough for it? I felt so reassured this morning through some of the scriptures and the songs that came out. I didn't share my notes with anyone except Danelle, obviously, at the AV. But I love the scripture that Leonard read. And it's one of the scriptures that's on my notes here in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. If you can put that up, please. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. A different translation says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Wholeheartedly, how does wholeheartedly seeking the Lord look like? How many of us seek the Lord half-heartedly? If you would come to me and say, I feel far from God, I might suggest to you, why don't you, perhaps, let me just give context here. You know Jeremiah 29, verse, I think it's verse 11, you know, I know the plans I have for you. We all know the scripture, right? It's the scripture we all want tattooed on our bicep like that photo we saw last week of me. If you weren't here, ask Leonard for the photo, it's going to bless you so much. Or ruin your day. What happens is Israel is going into captivity. God's judgment is on them. They're going into captivity for 70 years. It's going to be a horrible time. If you've ever felt far away from God, they've felt further. I can't imagine feeling further away from God than they were in that moment. Your whole country has been demolished by enemy. I mean, this is not spiritually speaking. People got killed. Houses got burned down. And it's God's judgment. And you're feeling like, God, what's happening? I feel so far from God. And the worst is, he's saying, great, now you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. You're going to suffer for the next 70 years. And he encourages them through that, and he says, live in your land. Embrace it, because it's going to be a long time. And then he encourages them, in your difficult season, I know the plans I have for you. I know the end. I'm not giving up on you. It's not a bumper sticker we put on our car going like, woohoo, you know, his plans are good. His plans for Israel was rough, was suffering. And then in verse 13, he encourages them, but if you seek me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Israel has turned away from God. He says, but if you seek me, I will allow you to find me, says God. Man, how crazy is that? When we rebel against God, when we turn our backs on God, he says, but seek me. And I'll allow you to find me. We're not entitled to his presence, yet he comes and he says, seek me and I'll give my presence. Seek me and I will be there. But it needs to be a wholehearted searching. Like I said, if you come to me and you say, I feel far from God, I might suggest to you, why don't you fast? Fasting is not eating for, let's say, a day. Fasting means to abstain from eating, from food. Right? You don't fast social media, you fast food. Anyway. And it's interesting because fasting food sucks. It does something to your body. So you don't eat for a whole day. And there's something of, I can pray, but sometimes my fasting, me abstaining from food for a day or two, whatever, is my prayer to God. If you go and look at the scriptures about fasting, he speaks about when we fast, God rewards that. It's like he answers our prayers. It's us taking that extra step of God. I really want this to come through. I can pray for something, but if I really am serious about it, I'll go that extra mile. God, I'm fasting for this. Because I'm asking and I'm petitioning. And why I would suggest to you to fast when you feel far from God? Because most of us would say no. Right? Just be honest with ourselves. And I've done it. I have at times where I felt I need to fast. So I need to not eat for a day or 2 days, whatever. because I feel far from God. But then I don't do it. Why? Because for me, that day, food is more important than God's presence. And then I wonder, why do I feel far from God? Man, I am not seeking Him. I'm not even seeking Him half-heartedly then. It's like quarter-heartedly. But we need to seek Him wholeheartedly, with everything. Do we want God's presence more than anything? Is it like breath to us? Have you been under a pool without water? It's like you become desperate. You become like, I need breath. And we need to get to that point. I need God's presence. I need God's closeness. Listen, when I say God's presence or being close to God, I'm not speaking necessarily just about having some encounter, someone prays for you when you feel tinglies or you... But we all know when we feel God's presence. Right? Let me ask this. Who of you have felt God's presence this year somewhere? If you haven't, that's good. We'll pray for you afterwards. Like, I'm serious, because we want you... This is Christianity is an experiential Christianity. Not falling in feelings. I think it's in John where it says, this is eternal life, that we might know Him. That word know, the Greek word there for know, means to experientially know. Not just hear. Experientially know God. And that comes through having a sense of God's presence. That might be, I might be sitting at home and I'm praying and I feel the peace of God come into my life. Things are falling apart, but I feel God's peace coming. Or I might be sitting and praying and I feel the Lord is speaking to me, or I feel emotions coming up. All those things, a lot of the time, are the presence of God in our lives. And those things are good, right? But it needs to be sought after wholeheartedly. I want to just quickly tell a story to maybe illustrate this. When I was in Team T, we had class about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was on a Friday afternoon. I remember that I was so excited when I heard we're having class about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I'm passionate about these things. I can't wait. But Enrique was in that class. Some of the guys struggled with the concept. You know, some people that are maybe a bit more conservative, and I know some of you here might be a bit more conservative, and that's fine. God meets you where you are at. You are not a second-rate Christian if you don't fall over like the next guy. It's not about the falling and the rolling. It's about you experiencing God's presence in how He wants you to experience Him. But can you for certainly say you are walking into God's presence? Anyway, we had class, and Mike, the OFI who gave the class, said, listen, there's a lot of people have some questions. We're going to come back next week, Friday, and then we'll pray for one another, because he wanted to pray for us at that class. And I remember going home and deciding, God, when we get together next week and pray for one another, I want to experience you. I want to experience you. I'm desperate for it. And I felt the Lord saying, okay, well, pray for it. And I made a decision that every morning for that week, it was just 7 days. It's not a lot. I woke up every morning, I think it was at 5. And for 20 minutes, I put on a timer and I would pray. I can remember where I went and I sat and I prayed every day for 20 minutes. Lord, I want to be filled by you. I'm desperate for your presence. Do you know how long 20 minutes gets you when you're praying for one thing? you can only say so many times, God, would you fill me? And then, what now? And then I would pray in tongues for a bit because I don't know what to say. But I was determined to pray and keep on praying. And it was probably the most radical encounter that I had with God in my entire Christian walk, that next Friday. Because I was desperate for God's presence. I didn't walk into that class predetermined, God must this or God must that. All I wanted was God's presence, however it comes. And I'll tell you the story another way. It wasn't a hype. We just stood there and we prayed for one another. And I remember just instinctive, you know when you feel light on your feet? You know that feeling? I was so desperate for God's presence, I didn't worry if this is me or not. And I fell over. That's how desperate. I was like, if it's me, I'll repent afterwards. If it's fake, I'll repent afterwards. I'm just so desperate for God. I remember when I felt someone's hand on my chest, so I knew I wasn't going to face plant. I was completely aware. And as the guy put me down, immediately, it felt like pins and needles or like electricity going through my hands and my lips. And the crazy thing is, just before that, someone prayed. And it's like, God is anointing your hands and your lips. And I remember going, God is busy doing something in me. And still to today, I remember that encounter. Now, my whole life has not been those encounters. I can probably count on my one hand, or I can count on Helmut's hand. I can't count on Helmut's hand. I'm steezy. But those of you who don't miss it, he's missing one finger. Or half a finger. Thank you, Helmut. Illustration done. Check. I can count on my hands how many times I've had encounters like that. Your Christian walk won't be everyday experiences. But are you desperate for whatever God can give you? Are you desperate for whatever God is offering you? What are you willing to substitute for God's presence? Think about that for a second. What are you willing to give up for God's presence? If God would stand in front of you right now and ask you, I'm going to use you as an example. If God comes to you and he says, you pick either my presence or marriage. It's just an example. You pick either my presence or your degree. You pick either my presence or social media. Insert whatever there. What's the thing that you're saying, God's presence is not worth it in terms of that? Some of us feel like, if I'm offered between marriage and God's presence, I'm picking marriage. We're not desperate enough for God's presence. And then we wonder, why do we feel far from God? Because there are these things in our hearts that are more important than God. And my last point. But let me just read this. This is such a profound quote from David Pawson. I don't know who of you know David Pawson. I enjoy him. I know Gert, he really enjoys David Pawson. He's the guy that wrote the Unlocking the Bible book. You guys know that? He's a great guy, great teacher. The presence of God is not given to the casual seeker. It is not found by those who pursue him with. It is found by those who pursue him with their whole heart. I love that term, the casual seeker. Who of us are the casual seekers? God is looking for those who look for him with their whole heart. Anyway, next point. Point number three is pray honest prayers. If you feel far from God, can I say the best thing that you can do is pray honest prayers. Imagine a marriage. What makes a marriage generally work is when there's connection, amongst other things. But when there's connection and we share our heart with one another. This is a quick, it was a funny story for me. I had just been married for a couple of months with, obviously with my wife. Obviously. Needless to say. Yeah, my one wife. We had just been married for a couple of months, and I remember she was still studying at the time, and she didn't have class today, and I was off, I think. So we were just spending the whole day together. And I remember we spent the whole day together. And I thought, yo, we are like close, man. And we spent the whole day together. And I remember that afternoon, we sat at the dinner table, and she said this. It just feels like we're living past one another. It feels like we're not spending enough time together. I remember sitting there like, I can't make another hour of the day if I like I thought 24 hours was enough, you know. I remember thinking that I only have 24 hours to give you. I can't do more. But it's not about the quantity; it's about the quality, right? My wife's love language is quality time. She wants connection. She wants to speak about hard things. And I know some of the men, I see you going like, "Yo, this one as well." Generally speaking, most of the ladies would lean more to wanting quality time. And it's an interesting observation for me. Often ladies connect with God quicker because it's like they present their heart to God quicker. Us men, we're like brick walls. Huh? I have now two emotions, hungry and sleepy. That's my extent of emotions. It's like maybe a third one if you're really like, if you married an emotional guy, and there's like another one in there. But folks, we need to learn how to be honest with God with how we're feeling. We need to learn, and I want to say this especially to the men. Ladies are not excluded, but especially to the men. Folks, we need to learn how to be honest with God and tell Him how we feel. That is when connection happens. You try praying an honest prayer. You just take 20 minutes, you close your door, you sit at home, and you just be honest with God for 20 minutes. And you'll see the comfort of the Holy Spirit come into that room like you've never before. The reason I think a lot of us feel far from God is because we close our heart off towards God. Pray honest prayers. Just like any relationship, it's built on connection. If you go read, just go and read the book of Psalms. Just go and read it. Pick any three. Just pick three random ones. I can almost guarantee you, that one of them will be someone complaining about how their life sucks. Most of them kind of sounds like that. Or even the Psalm 84 that we were singing. My heart faints for the Lord. He's saying to God, God, I want to be in your presence. He's saying to God, God, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house than live in the tents of the wicked. That is an honest prayer. He's expressing how he's feeling. And it can be good things like, oh, you know, my heart faints for the Lord, you know. Those are great prayers to pray. Or it could be something like this, Psalm 13, verse 1 to 2. You put it up. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? That is an honest prayer. When last have you sat before the Lord saying, God, hello, have you forgotten about me? God, how long will you look away from me? That is an honest prayer and crying out to the Lord. Lord, I need your presence. I need connection with you again. Or Psalm 22, verse 1 to 2. Do you have Psalm 22 on? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you remain so distant? Why do you ignore my cries for help? A couple of weeks ago, we did a series on Psalm 22, 23, and 24. And this is a picture of what even Jesus would go through. But David was still going like, why have you forsaken me? Why are you distant from me? Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. Every day I call to you. It's like, do you sit before God? God, you're not listening to me. I feel far from you. That is an honest prayer. Or Psalm 42, verse 4. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. And I'll just keep the rest. Do you sit before the Lord? I miss this thing. Lord, I miss those days. I miss my old car. I miss my kids when they were young. Do you sit before the Lord and bring that to Him? We should. That's where we allow Him into our hearts. Honest prayers opens the door for God to meet you where you actually are and not where you are pretending to be. I think we feel far from God because we pretend to be somewhere we're not. We pretend we're not far from God. Folks, we just need to be honest. And if we're honest with where we are at, God can meet us there. If you present your heart where you are at, God can meet you there. This feels like such a heart message. I like looking at Greek words and teaching, but this is what's on God's heart for us. He's calling us deeper into His presence. He's calling us to have relationship with Him. That is the gospel. Relationship with a living God. Not a relationship with words or a book. It's with a living God. The Bible is great. Don't get me wrong. But I don't have a relationship with the Bible. I don't. I've got a relationship with God. The Bible is great. Read it. Lees your Bible bid elke dag. Maybe in closing, a few of you guys in the band can come up so long. James 4 verse 8. Where's James? The real person, James. Yeah. I said I'd point to you when I read James. You can put. Did I give you James 4 verse? No, I didn't give it. Can you put on James 4 verse 8? I just want to read the start part of it. James 4 verse 8. Oh, I'll just read it while he gets it. It says this in the start. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. focusing on that first part. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Interesting, just before that it says, resist the devil, but submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Some of us sit here this morning and we're saying, I don't want to pray honest prayers. I don't want to take a break. I just want to keep being busy. I just want to keep going to work. Your work stops at 5, but you put in extra hours because you just don't want to deal with your emotions. God is saying, if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. You don't need to be afraid that when you draw near to God, that He will reject you. Folks, we don't need to be afraid of coming to God. There's a promise to this, that He will draw near to you when you draw near to Him. But do it with an open, honest heart. Let's close our eyes.